What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Because World War III is a really bad idea. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show, hour number two. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. We're talking about homelessness in Los Angeles. Hardly the only place dealing with this problem. And apparently, homelessness has hit a new record in Los Angeles. Apparently, there was a recent count done in a survey area comprising most of Los Angeles County, found 55,188 homeless people. And I suspect they probably didn't find them all. 55,000 homeless people in Los Angeles County. And city officials are trying to grapple with what is a humanitarian crisis in the middle of the United States of America. Apparently, over in New York City, their homeless services reported 60,252 homeless people, up 200 just in the last 2 weeks. People are saying that the city's program to combat homelessness isn't working. Yeah, it isn't. Record number of homeless kids attend city schools this year, research shows. And homeless students jump over 5% in Oregon, set a new record high. Well, let's call it what it is. It is a humanitarian crisis. So where is the United Nations? It's always willing to stick its nose into other countries on the basis of a humanitarian crisis. There's a humanitarian crisis going on in Yemen, but we've got a humanitarian crisis going on in our own country. And you cannot look at these numbers. 55,000 Los Angeles, 60,000 here, there, and everywhere. And that's just where they're counting in the big cities. A lot of homeless in a lot of smaller places as well. Here on the island of Oahu, we're a little tiny place. Look it up in Google Earth. We're a little tiny piece of rock in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. We have 8,000 homeless people here. You cannot look at those numbers and say that this is a working economy. And you can't just make excuses and just blame the homeless and say, oh, they're lazy, or they're gaming the system, or they're all druggies, or all the rest of it. No. The reality is, your average human being, if there is work available and a place that they can rent or preferably buy, that they're going to go that way. Nobody chooses to be living in their cars or living on the streets. It doesn't work that way. This is an economy that has pandered to the rich, to the money junkies, at the expense of the ordinary American people, and shows every signs of continuing to do so. All right, let's take a phone call. George in Hawaii, aloha, brah, what's up? George, are you there? Okay, I guess we lost George. All right. Now, getting on back here to the student debt problem. Basically, there's this article that came out of Ellen Brown's website about how education has been financialized, transformed from a public service into a lucrative cash cow for private investors. And basically saying it's just another form of slavery, that the debtors, or rather the creditors, may not claim chattel ownership over your body, but as long as you have that awareness of debt, you're going to do what collectively they want you to do. And it's made all the more shameful by the fact that the quality of the education these kids are getting for all of that money is very much in decay, in decline. It's not even education anymore, it's indoctrination, mostly in the liberal agenda. Humans are warming the earth. Immigration is good. And far from being places where young people are allowed to explore new ideas for the future of the country, the colleges and universities in this country have become the most rigid defenders of the status quo. And for all their talk out there about how we should all be tolerant and understanding and accepting of other people like the gays and so forth and so on, the liberal snowflakes on the university campuses are incredibly intolerant of anybody who's got a slightly different idea. All right, we're going to take another phone call here. John, I don't have a location where you're calling from, but what is on your mind? John, are you there? I'm having a problem. I'm not hearing my callers. I couldn't hear George in Hawaii, and I can't hear John. Okay. All right, we've got George in Hawaii. Aloha, George. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
Mike, beautiful day in Hawaii, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, actually.
Good. Hey, listen, Mike, you hit it right on the head, and you're usually very good about your commentary. Go back and look at the Reagan tax cut. Go back and look at 15, 18 years of war, and look at where we're at today. We're doing the same thing. Tax cuts for the wealthy, and the poor people get nailed. So here we have a situation where about 1% of the population function as complete socialists. They live at the top, they eat for free, and they do very, very well, just like they do in Russia. And the rest of us, the 99%ers, we function as capitalists. And we feed that system. We feed the military-industrial complex, and we feed Washington. That's what we do. And I think once we get to understanding that disparity between the rich and the poor is causing a lot of disconnection, I think once we get to understand that, and that you really don't cut taxes on the poorest people, you really don't impose new taxes on the poorest people, you just kind of bleed it off of the rich people. You just kind of take it away very subtly from the corporations, but you don't hammer the people that are already getting nailed. And so we see people rushing to the tax office trying to get their property tax paid in advance of this new tax bill. And I'm just sitting here wondering, this is the biggest tax cut since Ronald Reagan. And we know what happened after Reagan, Mike. You talked about that.
Yes.
You talked about that. You cannot build a military, expand the industrial base of your country, and cut taxes. It does not work. It's never worked. Reagan talked about a 600-fleet Navy. It was a wonderful idea. But you can't do it on the backs of people who are not paying taxes. And the poor people are strapped. We cannot pay our property tax. We cannot pay our GET here, which for the people in the real world, that's our sales tax in Hawaii. We cannot pay that, or we barely can. And it's just an ugly situation. And then you add to that 15, 16, 17 years of war and a swamp, and you figure it out. But there are people, Mike, there are top feeders in this society that are not capitalist. They're socialist. And they love it just the way it is. The rest of us, we function like beautiful all-American capitalists. We pay our taxes, and we muddle along day in and day out. And with that, Michael, Happy New Year. Best to Claire. And I'm happy you live Hawaii.
Well, thank you very much, and Happy New Year to you. I disagree with you only on one point, and that is the people at the very top of our system are not living as socialists. They're living as fascists. And my definition, capitalism is a system in which if you make money, you get to keep it. If you lose money, you are responsible for the debt, because freedom means the freedom to fail along with the freedom to succeed and the responsibility to accept either outcome. In socialism, make money, taxed off for the benefit of society. If you lose money, society is taxed to cover the losses so you can pick up and start again. Under fascism, those who make money get to keep it as long as they're sharing a bit of it with the political leadership. But if they lose money, society is taxed to cover the losses. And that's the system this country has been in for years now. Look at all of these Wall Street bailouts. Every time one of these Wall Street idiots makes a mistake or commits a crime, what do they do? Well, they don't dip into their pockets. They go on out and say, we need another taxpayer-funded bailout. And they're already talking about, will there be bailouts for Bitcoin? Will there be bailouts for what on else? If you need to be bailed out, it's time for you to go out of business. And probably that would have been the smart thing to do.
Mike, I'm with you. I'm with you 100%. You know what I want to do? I want to live like Putin and the oligarchs in Russia. That's what I want. I want to live in that kind of society. Wouldn't that be wonderful?
I don't know. I've never imagined myself living like that, to be very honest.
It.
I mean,
that's what we're
like
doing,
most Americans.
Mike. That's what we're
I just want
that's what we're doing here.
You mean living at the lower level? Well, first of all, Putin got rid of the oligarchs left over from the old Soviet Union, and most of them split for Israel. But basically, a society cannot become this stratified and survive. Again, the issue is that you have to have a recycling mechanism where the wealth that accumulates at the top has to get brought back down to the bottom as decent wages and salaries so that workers can trade their labor and their skills for that money and then pump it back into the system to keep it all going. And under capitalism and socialism especially, you have that recycling mechanism. Under fascism, you don't. The money just continues to collect and collect and collect at the top until there is simply insufficient currency in circulation and the entire economy locks up.
Now, Mike, did I hear you say bail out Bitcoin?
There's been some discussion about whether or not there would be a bailout for Bitcoin if it were to crash.
Well, Mike, that would be the ultimate slap in the face of every American who's tried to work for a living as they create money out of air. Now, we do that anyway, but...
Well, that's true for every single bailout, going all the way back to the... to the savings and loans bailout under George Herbert Walker Bush. It is a slap in the face of Americans to go on out to people who don't have investment capital, don't have risk capital, and ask them to pick up the losses for the investment class citizen who does have that money to risk and lose.
Well, Mike, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to agree with you on the fascist part of it, although I know that's the other extreme of socialism, but the consequences are the same. It's disproportionality between the rich and the poor. Whether it be you can give it any name you want, but we know what's happening, Michael. The poor are getting poorer, and the rich are getting richer, and there's less and less rich and more poor, and the disconnect is greater and greater. And we just continue down this road, and it's not going to end nicely. It's just not going to end nicely. But again, beautiful day. Get out and enjoy it. Get out and enjoy the day. It's great here.
Certainly will, but once the radio show's over, I'm going back to taking care of Claire. Basically, I view that socialism and fascism are, in fact, direct opposites of each other.
Yes,
but it doesn't really matter. Any system, whether it's socialist, fascist, or capitalist, you're going to get wealth inequality as long as the political leadership is willing to allow itself to be bought by the people with the money. The founding fathers set up the United States with a whole bunch of controls and limits and checks and balances to try and delay that inevitable decline. And here we are all these centuries later, and we are there. And even Thomas Jefferson didn't expect the United States that he created was going to last more than 100 years because of the inevitable nature of political power and the people who seek that political power. And they're not really there. Okay.
I would agree with you.
All right.
We are very long in the tooth as a nation, very, very old as a democracy, and probably in the final last breaths that we're probably going to take as a democracy, as we know it, as you and I know it, as children, when we were children. Now we're both 70 or getting close, so what's the difference? But I always like listening to you, Mike. I really enjoy your show. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you very much. Have a happy new year.
Happy
we're going to let you go. We're going to do a shout-out now to our honor affiliates rejoining our network, and we're going to go to Francis in North Carolina. Aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hello, aloha to you both. And speedy recovery
aloha
to Claire.
Aloha, snack bar.
Snack bar, too. I'm wondering about one thing. When you mentioned about the homeless and the UN and so forth ad nauseum, the impression I got is that the UN should be stepping into the U.S. to help those that are homeless, that are in a pickle situation, shall we say, or did I misinterpret it from you, or what was your definition of that?
Well, it's obvious that this government is unwilling to do anything about the homeless and hungry in this country. Plenty of money for the refugees, plenty of money for the illegal immigrants who are all going to vote Democratic, but nothing for the American homeless. Now, I've always considered it a crime by the United States government to give a single penny of our tax money to any other country on earth while we have American citizens sleeping in alleys and eating out of trash dumpsters. And yet that's exactly what's going on. So we do have a humanitarian disaster in our midst, and we need to start describing it as that to try and get some help to these people. And if the U.S. government isn't going to do it, and ordinary citizens simply can't come up with enough money and food. I mean, a lot of people are involved in the homeless and hungry programs, but it's not good enough. Maybe it's time for some kind of an international effort to feed America's hungry. It's sort of weird. We see all these commercials, especially around the holidays, where they're asking for donations to feed the hungry children of some third world nation over there in Africa. But we've got hungry children right here. And maybe these commercials are just propaganda to convince you that things are a lot worse in the rest of the world. And so don't complain about what you're seeing right in front of you. But I'm not going to go with that. We have hungry children in this country. We have people who are homeless and hungry through no fault of their own.
Yeah.
Because they're victims of out-of-control greed and money junkie behavior by Wall Street, or just a run of bad luck. And something has to be done for them.
Well, you know, the reason why I was asking is because, for one thing, yes, I see those ads about, this child is missing this or missing that and so forth at nauseam. It's really, it's basically heart-wrenching and deplorable. And yes, what the U.S. government, or I should say the agencies thereof, are doing is absolutely disgusting and very indignant for that matter. Now, if they were to utilize the fundage that both Hollywood and the Federal Reserve are spitting out towards that end, like, okay, there's so-called a national debt of trillions of dollars. You know what? They could take care of that in a heartbeat, and it would be done and over with, and they could actually take care of the infrastructure and the people that are called homeless and all that do not have food to eat that is decent and not been genetically screwed with, for that matter, excuse my French, for that matter, to help them. But the reason why I ask that is because I hear a lot of people make the comment, well, this is the U.S. We don't need to have the U.N. coming in and trying to take control of what we do here in the U.S. and as far as the states are concerned. And I'm thinking, you know what? Who is kidding who? You either get help or you do what you have to correct things here in the U.S. states to start with, whether it's on the state, local level, or with the federal government. Take your pick, but when it comes right down to it, when you start asking for help from the U.N., who's kidding who, and be careful what you ask for, because it may not be what you think.
Well, maybe not the United Nations, but maybe it's time for some of these other nations that the U.S. has shown charity to over hundreds of years to reverse that now and start saying we need humanitarian aid sent into our major cities to take care of these people. And I know that the politicians don't want that. It's embarrassing and humiliating. It's holding up the failures of our system for global ridicule. But maybe it's time for that to start happening. When you look at these numbers, I mean, if somebody says, well, there's 20 or 30 homeless, and you say, well, you know, okay, fine. But when you're talking 60,000 homeless or 50,000 homeless, or here on Oahu, 8,000 homeless, and all our government does here is just try and keep them shooed away from the tourist areas. And that's about the extent of it.
That's an insult.
It is.
And another aspect that's insulting is the fact that how much is spent in medical industrial complex, the military industrial complex, that could actually be spent on the infrastructure to keep people from starving.
Well, if you look at all the government waste, if they could just get that under control, we could buy housing for all these people. We have to take a break for commercials. Thank you for the call, Francis. We'll be right back.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And again, for those of you who would like to help Republic Broadcasting stay on the air, the postal address to send a check or money order is Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. The phone number, if you wish to become a recurring subscriber to Republic Broadcasting, is 800-724-2719, extension 03. And apparently, over at Judicial Watch, they're starting to pour through those posted emails being put up. And did you notice the State Department puts them up on the Friday before New Year's? You're kind of hoping that by next Tuesday, after all the fireworks and the hangovers and parades and football games, that people just won't have that much of an interest. But apparently it's already been confirmed that Anthony Weiner had classified emails belonging to Huma Abedin on that laptop. And they should not have been there. Title 18 violation. So we'll see what's happening going into the new year. And there is, I'm hoping the new year is going to bring some prosecutions. All it's going to take is one felony conviction to guarantee that Hillary Clinton cannot run in 2020. Just one. Just one. Now, yesterday, actually on Tuesday, Bitcoin actually surged to 16,000. They called it the a Boxing Day bounce back. But people are starting to say that they're very concerned because Bitcoin is being monopolized by the investment class. We know that a very small number of individuals are actually holding huge amounts of Bitcoin. And they're people who also have stocks and bonds. And so now the word is going on out that an implosion in Bitcoin could spill over into the stock market itself. And this is the reason why they're already starting to talk about a potential bailout on that. Now, Bitcoin is being traded and valued based on supply and demand. And my concern about Bitcoin is it has no commodity base under it to support whatever value is assigned to it. It could, in theory, go all the way to zero. And it is very volatile, as we have seen so far this year. That's what makes it attractive. Because most of the people playing on Wall Street aren't there for long-term investments. The way Wall Street was originally set up was you would go in, you would invest in a company, and you would just hang on to that stock certificate until the company turned a profit, at which you would get a share of it. That was the mature way to invest your money. But the operators on Wall Street, they want to buy and sell. Buy in the morning, sell in the afternoon, riding the spikes and the grooves in that price, right, the straddle. And they love volatility. And I think that's one of the reasons why they're hopping onto Bitcoin is it's probably the best roller coaster in that open-air casino over there in New York. Social Security beneficiaries have hit a record of 61,859,250. And the Bureau of Labor Statistics is already out there saying they're approaching a problem because for every one Social Security beneficiary, there's only two, little over two, full-time workers. And, of course, that's not the way that it was supposed to work. When Social Security was set up, the government would take the money from your paycheck. They would invest it for you. And then when you retired, you'd be paid from the dividends. But unfortunately, over the years, because the Social Security Trust Fund was used for several pork barrel projects that didn't pay back a return or profit, it's become another Ponzi, where today's Social Security beneficiaries are being paid for money taken from today's workers. And the Social Security Trust Fund is pretty much empty, thanks to the Bill Clinton administration, which looted the cash buildup for the baby boomer retirements and spent it as general revenues. And that's embezzlement. They embezzled the American worker because that wasn't the government's money. That was your money. It was mismanaged. So, okay. Okay, more about Skid Row. Apparently, Emmanuel Macron has been blasted by his opponents over what is seen as an attack on the unemployed, where basically the French president wants to slash benefits for the jobless if they refuse what is considered a reasonable job offer. In other words, forget about finding work in the area that you trained for and had experience for. They're going to offer you a job sweeping the streets, and if you refuse, your benefits get cut. And I can understand why a lot of people are very upset with that, especially those who have worked to educate themselves or to develop a skill set. All right, we're going to take another break for commercials. We've got a caller waiting on the line as soon as we come back from these words from our sponsors.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you. And your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Do you worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Join Mike on the air. Call toll-free 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. We're going to go to the telephones. Curtis in Nevada. Aloha, Curtis. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. I'm not sure if I'm listening to you on my device, whether it was a comment you made today or yesterday. About us going from a creditor nation to a debtor nation. Was it today or yesterday? You remember?
Well, I mentioned it both days.
Oh, okay. Well, you said something about you don't think it was intentional, but quite frankly, I think it was spelled out pretty much in all the globalist documentation, starting from the end of World War II, that eventually our country was supposed to be used as a military arm to try to consolidate, you know, the world, like we've seen. But eventually, we had to be made just as vulnerable as the rest of the world. And we had a manufacturing base, we had agricultural, we had the highest educational, medical. We were fully self-contained. So in all those decades, it takes decades to tear us down in that financially, economically, educational. They started infiltrating our schools and teaching our, in other words, everything was coordinated. Everything that you saw, the way they soiled our food, the way they pushed prescription drugs, they weakened us as a population, mentally, mm-hmm. and physically, everything to bring us to the point we're at now. So when people start calling and they start complaining, they're only seeing what they see last week, today. You know, but I mean, these things were set up for decades. These people are just reacting to it, and that's why it was so, it was done. I mean, NAFTA and GATT and all those things, I mean, we saw that coming. Perot tried to warn us. But that's why we're at where we're at today. And it was spelled out. I mean, and if you saw a lot of these Agenda 21 social warriors started infiltrating our school, BTAs and all that, and now to the point where they have everything just about across the country is pretty much uniform, kind of like, you know, everything standardized. So, yeah, it was intentional. We just weren't paying attention because most people just react to the present. They don't look ahead. That's what I think I saw. You know?
Well, again, we have to realize that, yes, there's a globalist movement, but it's an oversimplification to simply say everything that we're going through is a result of the globalists, because there are competing groups with competing agendas. Certainly the globalists are behind the open borders area, but I don't think they want the U.S. to collapse quite this soon, or they lose that military arm that, as you point out, they need the U.S. military to basically conquer the military of these other major countries that don't want to be part of the New World Order, such as Russia and China.
Mm. Yeah, well, I think Russia and China, you know, I don't think there's any one of these countries that I can actually say they're good guys or bad guys, or they're all just players playing their part. At this point, I cannot trust even Trump. I don't know. You know, is this guy a white hat or is he a black hat playing white hat just for now? I just wanted to kind of like ask you, have you seen that list of CEOs that have either resigning or retiring as of like September of this year until now? Have you seen that list?
Yes.
Okay, so, I mean, once again, when you look at the timing of how things happen, I mean, you can't say this is normal or this is just something is going on here, you know, something actually, and I kind of like, I'm just thinking that from the time they started all leaving, you're looking at around October and November, that's when the bulk of them started to say, I'm out of here. And that's when Trump had his, indictments thing, and they knew it. And for some, you know, maybe they're interconnected by some kind of networking, and they just said, "I'm getting out of here, so that way I'm not going to be part of it." So Trump.
Well, let's go back to Occam's razor, and take a look at these CEOs who are stepping down and resigning. They're leaving their companies while the companies are still healthy. They get a nice little golden parachute as they head into retirement. And the reason we're seeing a sudden surge in these resignations or retirements is because they're looking forward and seeing that the economy is poised for a downturn, and they want to get out while the getting is still good. They want somebody else to be sitting in that center seat when things really start to go bad.
Maybe so, but, you know, some of these companies are not exactly like national companies. Some of them are internationally related. But don't you think maybe that executive order might have been a reaction to this? Because this order is going to prevent these people from being able to leave, you know, without being affected. That's what I think.
Well, which executive order are you talking about? You're not talking about the human rights abusers and corruption executive order, because if these CEOs haven't abused human rights and they can't be proven to be corrupt, then the executive order doesn't apply to them.
Well, see, we don't know that, Mike. We don't know that, because these people here, they obviously network in some way. And see, this could speak to that whole trafficking thing, where some of these people might be, you know, connected with that, or even just the corruption thing. If it's proven that they were doing things that to enrich themselves illegally, they're going to be affected by that executive order. Maybe that's what I'm saying. That order came
They'd be affected by the executive order. They'd also be subject to prosecution. But I think what we're seeing here is more a case of people who are basically trying to consolidate their own wealth and get it to a place of safety ahead of a tremendous economic upset. And I don't think the executive order is necessarily the catalyst of that. Anyway, Curtis, I got to let you go here. We're starting to run short on time, and I want to switch over to Al in Canada. Al, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. You're the last caller, the guy that was just on the phone. You almost made it sound, you know, like it's a concerted conspiracy against the United States, and it's not. It's a conspiracy against humanity because of the money. You know, it has really nothing to do with anyone in particular. It's just these people are just so greedy. And, you know, they just have one focus in mind, and that's to have everything for themselves. There isn't a group of people that go, you know what, we're going to do this, and we're going to do that, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that. They just happen to come together, you know, on certain topics that, that they set forth for themselves. I mean, look at George Soros, and that, by the way, you blew me away like almost an hour ago when you came out with that 57,000 voting machines that Soros bought up. I mean, that, you know what? That's crazy. That right there is crazy. Like that there.
I agree.
It's a conspiracy. I mean, I actually went onto your website after you said that. I tried to call, but I couldn't get through. But I went onto your website, and I'm looking for this. Like, holy crap, how does this happen? How do these individuals buy up, basically, everyone's vote?
Well, that's how they stay in
Why
power.
Why would that happen? But how can that happen, Mike? Those voting machines should belong to the people.
They should. Well, I don't think we should be using voting machines anyway. They've been proven to be wide open to fraud. I've already written an article on how we can have more honest elections. We need to go back to paper ballots. We need to have voter ID. We need to mark the voter with some kind of purple ink on the thumb so that they can't vote more than once. It is possible to have honest elections. The reason we don't have honest elections in this country is those who are in control don't want honest elections. Everybody who's holding high office, they're the beneficiaries of a crooked system. They're going to be the absolute last people to allow any challenge to that crooked system.
Yeah, exactly. But like getting back to my first point, I mean, one of the beauties of the United States was, you know, the lack of regulation and that sort of thing, where someone could just, you know, all of a sudden you come up with a great idea that everybody liked and make a whole bunch of money. And, you know, there's nothing, you yourself said that. There's nothing wrong with that. George Lucas and, you know, people like that.
Yeah,
have
that's
obviously
the correct,
done
that's capitalism.
Sort of
that's the correct way to become wealthy.
Yeah.
And we should admire these people. We admire these people.
Oh, yeah. Like a handful of sweaty dollars, which are loans at interest, is not capital. That's what people have to get their head around. That is the money supply that is in existence now. That is not capital. It's a loan. It's owed.
Yes.
Not to mention that it's owed, but there's more owing than is actually in circulation. It's a hard concept to get your head around, but capitalism doesn't exist any longer. Capitalism
went out a long time ago. No, we've gone down the path to economic fascism decades ago. And actually, we started 100 years ago with the founding of the Federal Reserve. And that is really the beginning, what I think is the true beginning of the decline of the United States of America. Because you're absolutely correct. The trap of all private central banking is the debt always exceeds the available money supply. And over time, this means the real hard assets of the nation, the land, the houses, the factories, wind up in the pockets of those bankers. And all that the people are left holding are bits of paper with colored ink on them that in the end are really not worth anything at all.
No, they're not. And like the very definition of bankruptcy is owing more than what you're worth at any given time. So
yes.
The United States government doesn't own anything. do they?
No, they don't.
No.
But they're certainly out there taking other people's property. That's what that whole Bundy Ranch and Malheur Wildlife Sanctuary was about, was the government just acting like they can go on out and take that which does not belong to them. And then certainly in the case of the Malheur Wildlife Refuge, turn around and lease out its mining rights.
So you're busy. You have more callers. Thanks a lot, Mike. I appreciate your time. You have a good one.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
I almost said Merry Christmas. I'm sorry. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year to you too as well. We're going to switch over to Chris in Las Vegas. Aloha, Chris. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, thank you, Michael. I thought I'd add a little bit of information about the George Soros voting situation. And I discovered here in Las Vegas, back in the last voting cycle, that Soros had formed through his Tides Foundation, one of his financial venture arms, that they had created their own school to educate SEIU, the Purple People Eaters, in the skills needed to maintain and service voting machines, and then secured contracts with many of the major metropolitan areas around the nation through SEIU and their sweetheart deals with the locals to give them proprietary special access to the machines year-round. Now, having worked in the Nevada State Gaming Controls Enforcement Division for a period of time, I understand the dangers of having a political activist group and financial terrorists such as George Soros supposedly taking care of our voting machines, which gives them the special access needed to modify, encrypt, embed, or plant Trojans within the boards to make them actionable in special operating capacities that can be turned on or turned off with local or remote switches at will, like whenever the inspector shows up, to give the illusion that it's operating normally when it's absolutely fixed. And I've witnessed that myself first person back when I used to vote. I no longer vote, understanding that be a trespass against our qualified elector capacity as American nationals and qualified electors. But this is a clear and present danger to the integrity of the voting system that we saw evidenced by the minuscule amount of blue states versus the massive amount of red states totally rebuking the Hillary Clinton gang and her ilk in trying to fix the election, which fell famously on its flat face. So that's what I know about that very, very well. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for all that information. And it is rather amazing that you look at the lackadaisical attitude surrounding our election process, where they're out there saying, oh, they don't have to have ID, they don't need this, we don't need to be keeping an eye on the machines. And you contrast that with the extreme care with which the gambling machines in Las Vegas are monitored and watched to make sure there is no cheating. And it almost sends this message that gambling integrity is important in this country, while election integrity is not. But again, it's intentional. The people who are in power over us now are the beneficiaries of a rigged electoral system, and they don't want that to change, and they will not let it change. They'll fight tooth and nail. Look how hard they were trying to strike down the few remaining voter ID laws across the country last year. They want just to be able to bus people up and send them all on in to vote for the chosen candidate. Apparently, there's evidence in Alabama that people came from outside the state of Alabama and voted in that election. That's absolutely illegal. So it's a shame, and it's an embarrassment to the United States of America. We're supposed to be a republic with a democratically elected leadership, but that part has broken down. The leadership is simply selecting itself from among their own cronies, and they've had a real sweet run. They've all gotten very, very wealthy off of this, and now they're very nervous that the American people are waking up to it. Getting back to the news here, apparently China has started testing on a brand new hypersonic missile, the Dongfeng 17, which apparently can whiz right past the United States Terminal High Altitude Area Defense Missile. Moving on here. Over in Sweden, I remember when I was a kid, Sweden was this wonderful place, and everybody wanted to visit there. And now, because of the open borders and the immigration, coupled with a hyper-liberal government, it has really deteriorated. And apparently, they're trying to deal with their rape crisis over there. And because there are so many impediments being put in the way of actually arresting and prosecuting and deporting the refugees, police decided instead to declare a female curfew, telling women do not go out alone at night. And of course, there was an immediate backlash from the feminists. How dare you? All right, we're going to take another break for commercials, and we'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
If you are one of the millions of people who get migraines, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist who created MigRelief, the patented dietary supplement that addresses nutritional deficiencies in adults and children with migraines. Thousands of physicians and pharmacists recommend MigRelief.
Call 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
On the fifth day of global warming, Al Gore gave to me $5 $4 gas, 3 failed automakers, 2 melting ice caps, and the fear-mongering documentary.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. And over in Europe, especially in Germany, things are really starting to show cracks in the European Union. Apparently, the Alternative for Democracy Party, the Eurosceptic Party, is concerned that German churches are being politicized, like in the Nazi era. That's their comparison. basically saying that the AFDC's collusion between these religious leaders and Chancellor Angela Merkel's government. And there's nothing really new about that. Government has used churches and religions as instruments of domestic social policy for a very, very long time. Yes, the Nazis did it. George Bush actually was trying to do it here with his faith-based initiatives program, where the government was going to give money to churches and have the churches implement these social programs. But along with that, of course, came influence over what was being preached from the pulpit. And so the clergy were no longer allowed to simply express their honest opinion on certain topics. They had to be very careful about what they were saying, or they could lose the money. The latest polls are showing an absolute lack in confidence that Merkel can form a new government before next Easter. Only a third of the German people think she can still pull it off. And meanwhile, according to another poll, Merkel, Seehofer, and Schulz have been named the worst German politicians of 2017. Almost 50% of Germans want Chancellor Merkel to step down. They want her to quit. And a lot of that has to do, there was an article in Der Spiegel basically saying that looking at the ruins of Merkelism, the Merkel era has been characterized by a deep yearning for stability. And instead, Angela Merkel has created a Germany that is very unstable economically, and certainly with the pressures from the uncontrolled immigration and refugee problems. People are very concerned. The Germany that they have grown up with, the Germany that they love, is being erased before their very eyes by this New World Order open borders policy. Now, as you know, Martin Schulz is one of the voices out there calling for a United States of Europe. In other words, for all of the EU to become completely federalized under Brussels, and the member states lose what little remains of their individual sovereignty, kind of like what was done to this nation following the Civil War. But apparently, the latest poll by YouGov is basically saying, no, nobody in the EU likes this. In fact, only France, of the countries that were surveyed, only France had a majority saying they were in favor of a United States of Europe. Everybody else thinks it's a bad idea. And probably looking at what has become of the United States of America is acting as a discouragement. We'll be right back.
There's an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.